Hello and welcome to Around It About Chattanooga. I'm Michael Edward Miller.
I'm Mary Helen Miller.
And today on the show, we're doing something a little bit different. Normally on Around It About, we do two or three different segments on various events and people around Chattanooga. Today, we're devoting the entire show to this guy named Jonathan Colton.
Jonathan Colton?
Yeah, he's a singer, songwriter, a musician, an internet celebrity. He'll be playing at Track 29 on February 12th. He'll be playing with They Might Be Giants. They Might Be Giants, very well-known band. Colton, maybe not quite so much.
Yeah, I know They Might Be Giants, but I have no idea what he's like.
I first heard of him at a sci-fi fantasy convention, Dragon Con in Atlanta, one of the biggest sci-fi conventions in the United States. He's pretty popular at Dragon Con. He's even actually attended Dragon Con and played a concert there. He's popular there because a lot of his songs are very, very geeky. They're about geek culture, nerd culture, things like computer programmers. One of his best-known songs is a song called Code Monkey.
Code Monkey, get up, get coffee. Code Monkey, go to job. Code Monkey, have boring meeting with boring manager Rob. Rob say Code Monkey, very diligent, but his output stinks.
He also writes songs about robots and zombies.
All we want to do is eat your brains.
We're at an impasse here. Maybe we should compromise. If you open up the door, we'll all come inside and eat your brains.
So, why do you like his stuff?
Well, it's funny, but it's not necessarily novelty songs. When you think funny, you usually think of, you know, the Dr. Demento kind of stuff. Some of his songs fall into that, but some of them are a little bit deeper. Some of them are really actually kind of melancholy.
Because I crush everything and I crush everything and I crush everything.
This song here is called I Crush Everything. It's a sad song about a sea monster, a giant squid who can't make any friends because, being a sea monster, he crushes everything he touches. Jonathan Colton says there are songs he writes that are joke songs, but also songs like this, ones that are kind of dark and serious deep down at the center.
I really think that anything that moves you is something that you can appreciate. And, you know, it's just as hard to make somebody laugh as it is to make them cry. And so, you know, for me, I just try to write the thing that makes sense to me, because I don't know how to write anything else, you know. And if it comes out funny, that's great. If it comes out sad, that's fine too.
Maybe if you forget to hide the keys, I'll take a ride to Applebee's. I'll come home drunk on daiquiris and throw up on downstairs with the shop back. You can call, but I probably won't hear you because it's live with the shop back on.
I always liked a little bit of humor in my music, and so you know, I think that when you're trying to write a song, you have to be inspired by the subject that you're writing about, and you can only write the I'm sad because this girl doesn't love me song so many times before it starts to feel a little dull to you.
Your audience, I'm sure you get a lot of computer programmers and people who are into geek culture. Is it mainly that? Is it all kinds of music fans?
Yeah, it's all kinds of people. You know, people find me in different ways. There's certainly, I would say that there is a higher percentage of systems administrators in my audience than in the audiences of many other musicians. But there's certainly a lot of nerds out there. I don't know, I guess it sometimes tends to skew a little bit older. Although, you know, I frequently see multi-generations at my shows. So, you know, somebody, there'll be a 14-year-old kid there who's a big fan, and also his mom and dad who are really big fans. Which is great. I mean, it's totally lame to go to a concert with your parents, but for me, it's very heartwarming to see, you know, that it's something that an entire family can enjoy and not fight about in the car.
So that's Jonathan Colton, the music of Jonathan Colton. Mary Helen, what do you think?
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't so sure when you described him before, but I actually really liked that. It was funny.
He's really different from most singer-songwriters we play here on the station. He'll be here Sunday, February 12th at Track 29 playing with They Might Be Giants, and we're devoting the show to him because there are several reasons why the average NPR fan would be interested in him. One reason is his background, his educational background. He's a Yale graduate, actually went to Yale, and then wound up working at a software company in New York City. Just a very unusual career transition from software to music.
Yeah, I wonder how he did that. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
It really does. You think most artists aren't going to be into software, math, things like that. And so I asked him about that.
For me, songwriting is a lot like solving a puzzle, which is a lot like writing code. There's a thing that you're trying to create. You know what you want it to do. You know how you want it to behave. You know how you want it to be perceived. But you don't quite know all of the inner workings. So you build it a piece at a time, and you make sure those pieces work, and then you hook those pieces together. And if you don't know how a certain section is gonna happen, you assume you'll solve that problem, and you move on, and you go back and plug it in later. And it's the same satisfying feeling when you get to telescope in and out of a project you're working on, and look at the big scale and make sure it makes sense, and look at the small scale and make sure that makes sense too. And so, you know, for me, there's definitely that relationship between the two modes of thought.
There's a line in Code Monkey where the narrator, the perspective person, is talking very sarcastically about how computer programming is very creatively fulfilling. Yeah, right. Was it fulfilling for you creatively?
It was. I caught a lot of flack for that song from my old boss, who understandably took it very personally. But I did, and I still do. I love code. I think it's a really beautiful expression of human thought.
Did you write any programs that you're particularly proud of?
No.
And if you're a really hardcore NPR fan, you'll remember hearing Colton's voice on NPR a couple of different places. He was on Planet Money, and then later that Planet Money segment was aired on All Things Considered. It's another interesting aspect of his career they were talking about, the fact that he's got so many fans who are online and internet savvy that he can reach them directly through his website through iTunes.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if that's something that anybody can do, if it's just him because he's kind of in the tech world.
That's something that they talked about, is he kind of an anomaly because of who he is, or is this really truly the future of music? Alex Blumberg talked about on the Planet Money segment exactly how much money Jonathan Colton is making.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet Jonathan Colton, a singer-songwriter in Brooklyn. And I'm not embarrassed to say what he made in 2010. He authorized me to tell you, almost exactly $500,000 in revenue. And since his overhead costs are very low, most of that money goes straight to him.
And again, one of the things you have to remember about Jonathan Colton is he's making that much money and he doesn't even have a record label or a recording contract. He's doing this entirely on his own, $500,000 a year.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
It is. It's really, really impressive. But one of the things I was thinking about with him is, since he is doing this entirely on his own and he is a very internet savvy person, how he personally feels about piracy. I'm sure like Madonna doesn't get online looking for torrents of her music and reporting them to people, but Colton's the kind of guy who would actually know where to find them and know what to do about it.
Yeah, I'd bet that he'd be pretty concerned with people just ripping off his music since this is all he has.
So I asked him about that. Do you ever do things like go to sites like the Pirate Bay and find torrents of your own stuff and tell people, you know, stop doing that. I'm the guy who made these and please don't do that.
Well, first of all, that would be crazy because how could I stop anybody?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I hate to be so defeatist about it, but what are you going to do? You can't. It's too late. It's too late. You can't keep people from stealing music if they really want to steal music. And I also think, you know, people use torrents and other illegal sites to obtain media for different reasons. I certainly would prefer for people who are fans of me to give me money in exchange for music. And I can't tell you, I've had so many people come up to me at shows and say, you know, I'm not going to buy anything because I've already downloaded everything for free. But here's a $20 bill.
Really?
Thanks for your music. Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
One more thing. You were on a show that, well, a podcast that's very popular with our listeners, NPR's Planet Money. And the whole point of it was how much money you're making off of your sales online, how you're supporting yourself as an artist. And then one of the people on that podcast referred to you as a Snuggie.
It's actually a good metaphor, but I don't think it's a metaphor that expresses what they intended, because the Snuggie is actually a very successful product. A lot of people have bought the Snuggie, and there have been at least a couple of imitations of the Snuggie. It's so successful. So it's a kitschy thing. It's a thing that nobody really knew that they wanted, and it's maybe a thing that if you opened as a gift, and if you opened a gift and inside was a Snuggie, you would say, oh, hilarious, you gave me a Snuggie. But secretly inside, you'd be saying to yourself, oh boy, I got a Snuggie. You know, it's the so yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that label and I will wear it proudly.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jonathan Colton. He's going to be in Chattanooga Sunday, February 12th, playing with They Might Be Giants at Track 29. And there are several reasons why we're talking to him. He's got some connections to NPR. As we said, he was on Planet Money, All Things Considered. Another connection, though, that he has, he's going to be on this new show they're making.
Yeah, it's called Ask Me Another. They're actually in production right now, and it's a quiz show, kind of like Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's supposed to be pretty funny.
It really is, and I wasn't sure exactly when it's going to air yet, so I asked him about that and exactly what the show will be.
Ask Me Another is it's a new show on NPR, which I feel like there hasn't been a new show on NPR in about 50 years. So it's an exciting thing. It's like a puzzle trivia quiz show kind of thing in front of a live audience. Contestants come out of the audience and play games and answer questions, and winners and losers are determined. I'm one of the panel of hosts and puzzle runners, and you know, my job is to stand there on stage and crack wise with the other hosts and talk to the contestants and read the questions and that sort of thing. It's a really fun show. It's fun to play games with an audience. It really is.
That show, Ask Me Another, it's not actually being broadcast yet. They're still in the early stages. They're still putting together the first season, but they do have a Facebook page. Just look for Ask Me Another from NPR on Facebook.
And apparently you can even get tickets to the live tapings of it. We're not sure when it's going to air yet, and if we don't have it in Chattanooga, you can definitely download the podcast.
The final thing I talked to Jonathan Colton about, his latest album, Artificial Heart, it came out last year, kind of a departure for him. Previously, he's been a do-it-yourself kind of guy. This time, though, he enlisted the help of many musicians to put this together. John Flansburgh of They Might Be Giants produced the album, and Flansburgh, being a name musician, having connections in the music world, brought in other musicians for this album.
One of the other musicians is Suzanne Vega. He has a duet with her. That's something that's pretty cool for somebody who doesn't even have a record label or contract.
When we were thinking about what songs to put on the album and how to record them and how to frame them and all that stuff, you know, of course, he's in this band, They Might Be Giants, where every other song is a different singer. It's either John Flansburgh or John Linnell, or sometimes other guest voices are in there too. So he's used to that kind of change up, and he said, you know, it would be fun to do the same thing. And we sort of, you know, we called in some favors. We checked the Rolodex and we saw what we had. He knows Suzanne Vega somehow, and she's amazing. I mean, she's got this voice that is, it's an iconic voice, and it was great. You know, she came in to sing the song, and we were chatting and having some tea and getting settled in, and then she went into the room to start singing into the microphone, and she started singing, and I said, oh my gosh, it's Suzanne Vega.
I was just an acrobat high above the street, pointing at the ground, the empty sky beneath my feet, the perfect fall. No one could tell at all that it was killing.
So, Mary Helen, to think just a few days ago you'd never heard of Jonathan Colton.
I know, I can't believe it. I want to go see him now.
He's going to be here in Chattanooga on February 12th, along with They Might Be Giants. As of this recording, tickets are still available. You can look online at track29.co for more information on that. Find more information about Jonathan Colton online at jonathancolton.com.
And that's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or story ideas, you can give us a call at 425-2224, or you can always find us online at wutc.org.
Around and About is a production of WUTC, with contributions by the staff and volunteers of WUTC.